Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Ash Wednesday, perhaps the most solemn day of our church year, a service framed by the Word of God, the confession, the ashes, and Holy Communion, all in balance. This year at First Lutheran, we've chosen for our Lenten theme to spend some time soaking up the Lord's Prayer, which is why on this Ash Wednesday, the appointed gospel lesson, which is actually just the parentheses around the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Matthew. If you have a Bible and look at chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew, the words of the Ash Wednesday gospel text are the words in Matthew that come right before and right after the Lord's Prayer. But they leave the Lord's Prayer out of the lectionary. So in light of our seasonal theme, it went back where it belonged. And so tonight, as we look at that first phrase, the opening of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, we see that in this gospel lesson that you just heard, that is appointed for Ash Wednesday anyway, the words "your father" appear at least 7 times. Your father. How significant is this? We say the Lord's Prayer all the time, but do we really think about our father, your father? We know that Jesus prayed to God as his own father, but here, he actually passes on the adoption papers. God, the Almighty, the Father of Jesus Christ, is your Father too. And now, before you get too puffed up about that, this is probably also the biggest communal "you" you're ever going to hear. You see, in saying "our Father," "your Father," it's not an individualistic thing, not by any means. Yes, God is your Father and your Father and your Father, but God is also my Father. He's the father of the saintly grandmother that you picture in your mind. But he's also the father of the sinner down the street. You see, when we hear the word "your Father," we have to hear the word as a plural. A great big communal plural. And I think sometimes there's a temptation for Christians to come to God in prayer thinking that God is sort of a personal possession. You know? It might be when we're tempted to pray only for ourselves, or our needs, or our priorities. Or maybe when we exclude other people in our minds as we are praying. Exclude them as lesser children of God, or less than children of God, because our type of Christianity has it all right, and we think we've got God all figured out, and so we tell God what we want. Sure, none of us have ever prayed like that, right? Think about it. How often have you heard a prayer begin with the words "God, I just," or "Father God, I just"? Yeah. When we hear that, when we catch ourselves doing that, we have to remind ourselves to start with "God, you." "God, you are," instead of "God, I just." Think about it. "God, you are." Well, for starters, holy. And that's how Jesus taught us to pray. Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, you are hallowed. Your name is holy. Your name, God, is holy. And we come to you humbly, because of the relationship that you reached out and gave us. Without you, God, we're not holy. And we have no right to stand before you and say, "This is what I want, and this is what I want you to do." We start our prayer with, "God, you are holy." So in this gospel today, Jesus is instructing his disciples. He says, pray to your Father. Remember now that every time you hear that word "your" or "you" or "us" in this prayer, it means y'all. Or as I heard some other pastors in the community talk about, all y'all. That one's a new one to me. All y'all. Jesus said, pray to your Father who is in secret. And then he offers some instructions like, make your offering, but don't brag about it. Because Jesus said, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now this phrase keeps coming up over and over again. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Say that with me. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so then Jesus says, pray, but don't do it so other people will think you're holy. Pray because you need to be talking to God all the time. And then he said, because your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus says your prayers don't have to be long and wordy. God already knows what's in your heart and what you need, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And he says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is like a song with a refrain. He says, go ahead and fast if you need to, if that helps you get closer to God. But do it to get closer to God. And don't walk around whining about how hungry you are. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right? So all of this, he's giving them instruction about what the Father is like and what the Father likes. In the same chapter, Jesus also goes on to tell us, not to worry about having enough stuff. He tells them and us not to serve two masters, God and possessions. And he tells them not to judge others, because when we do that, God will judge us in the same manner. Now, this instruction not to judge others or we will be judged is directly parallel and very close to those verses in the Lord's Prayer that talk not once, but in this Gospel of Matthew twice, about forgiving others' trespasses or debts. Twice. In Matthew 6:12, Jesus says, pray, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven others. In 6:14, after he's done teaching the Lord's Prayer, he ramps it up a little bit more and says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Don't judge. Forgive. Those might be the two hardest things God ever asks us to do. And it never makes the news when we don't. Don't judge. Forgive. Which brings us to the next part of the Ash Wednesday service, confession. The importance of confession can't be underestimated. And in just a few minutes, we will have a confession. And we confess our sins. But sometimes maybe we don't remember why. We confess our sins not because God doesn't already know what we've been doing. God knows. So check that off the list. God knows. We're not telling God anything new. We confess our sins because God needs us to articulate for ourselves. God needs us to know in our own hearts that we are sinners. God needs us to express that we are sinners, that we identify ourselves as someone who is broken and can only be saved by the grace of God. And we come back to how can we forgive others if we can't identify ourselves as sinners? The second part, though, is we confess our sins because we can't atone for our own sins. Only Jesus can. And we have to remind ourselves of that. We confess because God wants us to hear the words of absolution. God wants us to know that we are forgiven. You know, sometimes when we confess at home alone, say, God, I did this and this and this. We don't hear the words of promise, the words of life. That's actually one of the reasons why the Lutheran Church eventually left private confession behind. We don't have to do private confession, although it's still an option. But the reason behind even the old tradition of private confession was not that a priest or pastor could hear all your individual sins, as delightful as that might sound, but so that you could hear the words of absolution personally, in your own ear. That's the Lutheran understanding, anyway. So when you need to get something off your chest and you need to hear that God will forgive you, when you need to hear one-to-one, you, child of God, are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, private confession is still available. Or you could go to any other Christian, because we all have the power through Jesus to say, in the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. It's not so common anymore because private confession became so tied up in penance, doing good works to make up for our sins, that people started forgetting that we can't atone for our own sins. There's nothing we can do to achieve forgiveness of our sins except turn them over to God, repent, and forgive other people. Third, we confess as a church. That's another thing we do communally, because we acknowledge that we are all in this together, saint and sinner at the same time, you and me. Y'all, y'all. Standing before our Heavenly Father together. And we confess together so we can hear the words of absolution. You, child of God, are forgiven in the name of Jesus. And that we do just about every Sunday. And if you don't hear it in the words of confession and forgiveness, finally, you hear it in the celebration of communion, in the words of Jesus that say, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Because outside of that love and salvation of Jesus, we are but dust. And that's the other thing Ash Wednesday reminds us of. We are reminded that we are but dust. Picture it. When God had just barely finished creating the earth, creating the dust of the earth and the vegetation and the animals, calling all things good, and creating man and woman in his own image and calling them good, by chapter 3 of Genesis, man and woman chose to disobey God. In God's reprimand to Adam and Eve after their sin, God reminded them that he had taken them out of the ground, formed them from the ground, and said that they were dust, and to dust they shall return. We are reminded at Ash Wednesday that we've walked this earth a very short time. Even those of us who live to a great age, our days are numbered, and we will return to the dust. That's the hardest part for me as a pastor. Year after year, about 20 years so, doing Ash Wednesdays, knowing how many people I've marked with that dust aren't with us anymore. Knowing that some among us might not be next year on Ash Wednesday. We are dust. But it is God who formed us out of dust who also breathed new life into us through Jesus Christ, who keeps on breathing new life into us and keeps on raising us from the dead to new life, now and throughout all eternity. And because of this new life in Christ, we have nothing to fear. Nothing on earth. Nothing to fear when we live in Christ. And so today we remind ourselves and each other that we've turned away from God. And we'll confess it. We've turned away from God in big ways and in small ways. And the burned palm leaves remind us that our hosannas don't save us. Jesus does. We are dust. And to dust we will return, says God to Adam and Eve and us. But even in this stern reminder, God never stopped loving his human creation. Since that first dusty day, God's people have often repented by covering themselves with dust and ashes as a reminder that all we have and all that we have become are gifts from God. Gifts from the God who raises us up out of the dust and breathes new life into us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.